You know, that song, Restart, do you ever really think of what that really means? You know, you were lost and undone, and God come and gave you another new start. Excuse me. I just hope that you understand that God did do that, and he's doing that right now. Those who have, you know, slipped away from him, and he's bringing them back now. He's giving you another brand new start, and he just wants you just to enjoy yourself in him. Father, I just thank you tonight for who you are, what you are, and I thank you, Father God, that your holy angelic host are in this building tonight, walking to and fro amongst your people. I thank you, Father God, for the air conditioner being fixed. I thank you, Father God, for the hearts that came tonight hungry and thirsty, and that you're going to feed them fresh manna from heaven. And Father, let every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob fall upon your people. And Father, there is a great falling away going on in the churches around the world, but I thank you for these faithful ones that come out each and every time the doors are open, and who praise and worship you and enter into your very presence. And now, Father God, I'm asking for a special blessing to be upon their lives tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I don't know why, but God laid this upon my heart doing praise and worship. You know, he doesn't want you to be discouraged in any area of your life. And he just laid upon my heart about Francis Hunter, who, you know, they had that great, great healing ministry. I mean, great healing ministry, miracles all over the place. But Francis Hunter got a sore in her leg. Remember that story? She got a sore in her leg and kept believing for God to heal her. And he never did heal her. She had, because it got so bad, she was going to lose her leg. So she had to go to the hospital and have it fixed. And then I thought about other ministers who had great healing ministries, and they themselves got sick, but they had to go to the hospital and have it fixed. God never miraculously healed them. So I'm telling you this because of this. You have to understand, if you're going to walk in a healing ministry or in a miracle ministry, the devil's going to attack you. And that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to come and rip it out of you either. You know, so many people are saying, well, if God is all that and then some, why doesn't he heal me? Well, you know, I don't know. But I do know one thing, what God showed me during praise and worship, and just blew my mind. And he just showed me different ministries where they had great healing ministries, signs, wonders, and miracles, and how they themselves were attacked. Think about Gary Whetstone. He has a great ministry, but yet he was in that elevator and that thing broke, and he was laid up. They carried him out on a chair and set him up in the altar area for over a year, I think it was. I don't know how he finally got healed, but, you know. So what are you looking for if you're asking God to make you a leader? What are you looking for if you're asking God for great signs, wonders, and miracles? Look at the disciples. Look what happened to them. They were carrying the message and they were performing miracles. You know, God was using them to perform miracles, but they themselves had one affliction after another. You need to understand this tonight, that if you're going to have a leadership role, then you're going to have to suffer. That's just where it's at. All right? So, maybe you don't want a leadership role. Maybe you just want to sit there and sing a little, you know. Maybe you don't want a ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles. Look at Jesus. He had a ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles, and people rejected him. He was lied about and everything else. God's getting you guys ready, all of us ready for a great move. I don't know what it is, but a great move. But he's been trying to teach us, hey, you know, it's not what you think it's going to be. You know, it's not the way you think it's going to be. All right. And he laid upon my heart, what's that lady that, she had that woman in her house who had the demons in her? Rebecca Brown, yeah. Rebecca Brown's husband, who left because of his family, he was deeply rooted in the occult. He left the occult, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but he ran for his life continually. You know, in other words, just because you was in, if you were in the cult and you left the cult, now you're serving God, that doesn't mean that you're, everything's going to run smoothly for you. They had to keep running, uprooting, and, you know, everybody, they tried to kill him. They had a terrible time. For some reason or other, God wants you guys to understand this. He wants us all to understand this. That if you're greatly anointed, you're going to be greatly chased. Amen. That you have a bullseye on you and all hell has been sent loose against you. So maybe you want to rethink your walk with God, your ministry, you know. Not rethink your walk, but just think, rethink, do I really want that ministry? And, you know, you have to stop and think about Job, who was a mighty man of God, and who suffered most because of his walk with God, his children. So you have to understand, too, when you're walking with God, if the devil can't get you, then he'll target your children. Like my grandson told me, he said, Mom, please don't quit God. I'll suffer, but please don't quit God. You know, so that, you know, you're an example to your children, right? And then all of a sudden, if your children are being attacked and you say, well, I'm not going to serve God because you're attacking my children. What kind of an example is that to your children? Well, anyhow, that's not my message. And that's just what God laid upon my heart. We were sitting down there doing praise and worship. And he's just so good. He'll just show you anything anytime he wants to. And it's up to you what you do with it whenever he shows it to you. Tonight I want to talk about why you need apostolic empowerment in your life. All right? Now, this is not my teaching. Some of mine's in here, but this is somebody else's teaching that when I read it, I knew that you guys had to hear it. You have to understand it. For generations, the focus within the four walls of the church has been on one person's vision, right? That person was the one in the pulpit. Their vision was exalted above everyone else's vision. The congregation existed to serve the vision of the head. I have heard many, many times during my years when leading a church, you can only have one vision. If you have two visions, you have division. Or you have division, or if there are two heads or two visions, then you have a monster. These are words, by the way, I also used back in the day. Some leaders speak them to control the congregation into serving their vision only. Now, I want to stop there. When I was started a church, God gave me a vision for the church. It was my vision. You know, whatever, you know, to have a Christian school and have the deliverance for me, that was my vision. So I have to make sure that I bring those things out. It's not up to you all to do it. I need your help, but that was my vision. And I am not forcing anybody to make my vision come to pass. All right? Now, each one of you sitting in here tonight, if God's called you to a ministry, he's given you your vision for your ministry. Now, it's up to you to make sure that you bring that vision forth. It's up to you to make sure that you don't allow anybody to stop your vision like I did, all right? That is your vision from God. It's not the next door neighbor's vision. It's yours. Now, let's go on here. I wanted to throw that out there to you because I know we have our vision on our brochure. Well, that's my vision. The pastor, that's my vision. And this is what I am supposed to bring forth. I'm supposed to have, excuse me, a Christian school. I'm supposed to have the healing ministry and whatever else we have on there. I can't remember it. And it's up to me to bring it forth. Now, I'm not going to say to you, you can't have a vision because you've got to bring my vision to pass. No, I have to bring my vision to pass. And God makes a way. All right? The reason why I don't have the things the way I should have them is because I allowed Jezebels to come into the church and try to control me. I even allowed Jezebels to get up and preach the word and then split the church. But I learned a lesson. So I want you all to know, don't let Jezebels come into your vision, your ministry. It's your vision. It's your ministry. You tell them, no, and it's not their pulpit either. All right? Now, many within the church have been given a vision by the Lord. The vision that they have is one part of a divine plan to see Christ's kingdom on display in the earth. I want to stop there. Now, if God gives you a vision, it's not up to me to make your vision happen. It's not up to me to let you use my pulpit or my church, this, the Lighthouse Church, to bring it to pass. If God's given you a vision, then he wants you to do it, but ask him, where do I do this at? How do I do it? All right, so many within the church have been given a vision by the Lord. The vision that they have is one part, and we all have to work together, of a divine plan to see Christ's kingdom on display in the earth. What if everyone in the church was doing their God-given dream? What would happen in your city if each believer was accomplishing the vision the Lord gave them? See that? I'll read that again so you get that in context. What if everyone in the church was doing their God-given dream? All right, are you called an evangelist? Are you out doing evangelism? You know, if you're called to do deliverance, are you out doing deliverance? This is what I'm talking about here. What would happen in your city if each believer was accomplishing the vision the Lord gave them? I recently heard Apostle Barbara Yoder say the local church model gathers a community for a Sunday morning service. We have gauged success by how many we can gather. We don't do that here. Amen. Or we would say we were very unsuccessful, wouldn't we? However, the apostolic center model sends the believer into the community. What a vast difference. The apostolic center model empowers the believer and sends them out to do the work of the ministry. Read that again. However, the apostolic center model sends the believer into the community. What a vast difference than the local church model. The apostolic center model empowers the believer and sends them out to do the work of the ministry. When I first started this ministry, God said, yours will be a swinging door ministry. He said, I'm going to send in ministers that I want you to teach and train and then send them out to do my work. So we are an apostolic center model. All right. We have had many people go out and start churches on their own. And we have evangelists out there. But God sent them here to teach them and to empower them. And then he sent them forth. Now, if you think about Francis Hunter, they had a wonderful ministry, but I read in one of their books where they made sure they were in their home church every Sunday. Just because they had their own healing ministry, and that blew my mind, really. But they always went back to their home church where they were brought up at and trained and supported that ministry. Prophetic word. In 1999, I prophesied to two... No, remember, this is somebody else's teaching. I prophesied to two ladies who lived in the Bahamas. The prophetic word was that they were to go into the... I want you to listen to this, because this happens every day. The prophetic word was that they were to go into their city and heal the sick, cast out devils, and save the lost. This was a Matthew 10 commission. You can read that at home. They received this word from the Lord and launched into their community. Many were being healed, saved, and touched by the Lord. After great success for a couple of weeks, their pastor called me. What have you done? He said, you prophesied to these women and they're going out into the town and praying for people. I said, yes, that's so awesome. That didn't help. He said, no, they were not authorized by me to do that. I responded, you're kidding me. No, he replied, they need my permission to go out and do this kind of ministry. I said, I would think you would be happy that they are going into the community and doing this. They are doing what Jesus called them to do. Needless to say, he and I never saw eye to eye on this. Somebody else stole their vision. If that pastor would have been walking in the Spirit, he would have told them what they were supposed to do, and he would have helped them do that. But he did not. So I'm going to tell you right now, if God has prophesied to you that you have a mission, then you have a mission. Don't let nobody else, not even me, tell you that you're not supposed to. I've had people, God prophesied to people that they were going to do a great and mighty thing, but not now. Not right now. You have to sit still and be trained. And then they got up, did their own thing. I didn't tell them not to do it. I did not. They already had the prophetic word in front of them. Now was not the time. They just knew that they heard from God, and they knew God was telling them what to do, and they went and did it. And they're not out there doing their thing today. They fell along the wayside because they did not sit still and wait for God. Amen. What's that great prophet, Juanita Bynum? You know, she rose up and God gave her a great prophetic gift, and she went to this church, and the pastor called her to his office and said, God said for you to sit down, that you're not ready to go out on the streets yet, out on the road. So she sat in the front row under him for a year or 2 years and got trained, and then she went out, and then her ministry was fine. See, even though she was prophetic, called to God, she wasn't ready yet. She had to be trained. He said, you're too wild. He said, you have to sit down and learn. All right? But then that doesn't mean set for 200 years. You know. All right. Needless to say, he and I never saw eye to eye on this. However, this was the dream the Lord put in their hearts. But now the dream was being controlled and snuffed out by the insecurity of a church leader. Come on. There will always be a leader that will try to snuff out your vision. By the way, these two ladies were solid believers with a strong foundation. They weren't some fly-by-night, you know, whippy people. In this story, the mentality of the pastor was a slave owner's mentality. His thinking was not kingdom of God, but control. I can't stand control. I really can't. That is not in heaven. Not all pastors think this way. Many today are empowering the saints to do the work of ministry. All believers. Jesus gave the commission for the work of the ministry to all believers, not a select few. Everybody in here should be doing the works that God's called us for, to everybody. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go therefore and make disciples of all people. See that? We're all disciples of God. Were you ever told you were a disciple of God before? You know, we just always supposed to come and sit in a seat and warm that seat, right? Pay our tithing and then go on our way and let the pastor be blessed. But you know what? The pastor can be blessed, yes, but we're supposed to be blessed too, and we're supposed to do the work of the Father. We weren't called just to sit. Come on. This is written to all believers, Mark 16:15-17. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, and these signs will accompany those who have believed. Go into all the world. It didn't say, when, all right, so you're a member of the pastor of Lighthouse Church. You just do all your work at the Lighthouse Church. You get up there to the pulpit and you do all the preaching. It didn't say that, did it? It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And there are these signs will accompany those who have believed. Ephesians 4:11-12 tells us he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and for the building up of the body of Christ. All these different gifts were given for, all right, let's read that again. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. These different gifts are so we can equip the saints to go out and do the works of the Father, for the work of service, and for the building up of the body of Christ. Your gifts aren't to make you look important. It's to build up the body of Christ. It's when you go out into the world for God to be able to use those gifts to talk to an unbeliever and have them receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, I know a lady who's in the ministry, and I feel so sorry for her because I've known her ever since I've been in the ministry, and she's a powerfully anointed woman of God. But she lets her congregation rule her. She's always letting them speak into her life and telling her what she should and shouldn't do. And so therefore they walk in confusion. And it is totally just about made her go crazy. Don't ever do that. So I don't want people coming talking into my, speaking into my life. I don't. Because everybody has a word for the pastor. Believe me, they do. Everybody comes in and wants, they, everybody comes in and wants to tell me how to run the Lighthouse Church. And you know, I had two episodes of that this week, and that's not really another reason why I'm teaching this. These people are so demon-possessed, they don't know what to do themselves. They're trying to tell me how to run the church. Even said I'm putting wrong prophetic word, daily words on the website, that I'm twisting scriptures. You have to be careful. People aren't right. Everybody comes in the house of God is not of God. And you have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know that God called you. So you have to be bold. Aaron, that's why you and your spirit, my spirit get along. So you're bold. And I like that. I mean, I'm drawn to him. I really am. Not sexually, but spiritually drawn to him because of the boldness within him. He's bold. If you let him, you watch to see, you let him loose, God's just saying he'll be like a bull in a china shop once he gets loose. You know? Come on, guys. You don't want to be drawn to somebody weak and sniffly nosed. You want somebody that's bold and strong in the Lord. You know, knows who they are in Christ and knows what they should. I'm going to tell on him. Brother Brett said one time somebody was stopping the moving of the Spirit when they was doing deliverance, and Aaron said, why don't you just tell them? He said, well, we can't do that. We don't hurt their feelings. He said, why not? And you know, that's how I feel too. Why not hurt their feelings? That's the devil when they're trying to control you doing deliverance, right? All right. Brett is mentoring Aaron. So you listen to what he tells you. I'll correct him. All right. They're really trained. You're sitting there doing deliverance and this person sitting there. That's not in me. I don't want that. That's not right. Well, that's a dumb spirit too, right there. You need to tell that spirit to shut up and get out so you can go on with your business, right? All right, for this purpose. This is what Jesus said to Saul, which is Paul, during his conversion on his journey to Damascus in Acts 26:16-18. But rise and stand on your feet. A lot of Christians need to get up on their feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose. See, he was telling him what he was doing. This is what his purpose was, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. This was his purpose right there. What do you want me to do, God? What are you going to do with me? That's what I'm going to do with you, Paul. Make you a minister and a witness both. I'm just saying this is what people say to you. God will give you a prophetic word. He spells it out. You come to me. What does this mean? I don't know. It came from God. Go ask God. If you're too dumb, then I shouldn't have said that. If you can't understand your prophetic word, then you really need to go back, you know, and get redipped or something. Because God does speak plainly. You just don't like what he's having to say. All right, verse 17 says, then God's still talking to Saul, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. In other words, he's telling Paul, they're not going to be able to do anything to you because I'm going to deliver you from them, right? All right, then he says, then to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. This is all what Saul's supposed to be doing. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So how much plainer can God get? This is what I'm going to do with you, Saul. I love Paul. I really do. I just really read about him because he's a fantastic disciple. Now, do not delay. I'm talking to you all. Do not delay. Decide today to step into your purpose. Come on. What if the one in the pulpit, the leader, was to train and empower the vision of each person in the congregation? What would happen if there was an empowerment to do the works of Jesus? If the church leader empowers a congregation, then the ecclesia will begin doing the work of the ministry as defined in Ephesians 4:12. The Holy Spirit will go to work. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, when the commission of a dream occurs, which is Matthew 10, tremendous authority moves into the life of the believer to achieve Christ's purpose in the earth. If we empower everyone in the body of Christ, our city, states, and nation will be impacted, and we will see cities transformed, lives saved, and many works of Christ done. Read that again. When the commission of a dream occurs, and this is where God sends them out to do their work in Matthew 10, tremendous authority moves into the life of the believer to achieve Christ's purpose on the earth. In other words, when you finally decide, all right, God, I'm going to step out and do what you're telling me to do, immediately the Holy Spirit takes over and God empowers you to do the works that you're supposed to do. If we empower everyone, everybody in here, in the body of Christ, our cities, states, and nations will be impacted, and we will see cities transformed, lives saved, and many works of Christ done. We sit in here, we hear the word, we go out there, and the first person we meet, we complain to. You aren't impacted with power, and you're not going to touch anybody's lives because all they ever do is see you complaining. They don't ever see you suffering and standing there with your backbone of steel and a forehead of flint telling the devil where to go. They don't ever see that because you're always complaining about something. You're not impacted with the power from on high. Come on. It's time to dream again, saints. I'm excited today because God is doing a brand new thing. And he's saying, get out of the molly grubs and get back up to where you belong and go ahead and dream again. And go ahead and let me send you forth to do the mighty works I want you to do. For many believers, their dream of ministry has died in the tomb of hope deferred, has been trampled by insecure leaders and other believers who did not encourage them to pursue their destiny or who has been crushed by the trials of his life. And I'm going to share something here. You know, I always, you know, we prophesy into your life what God wants to do with you. And I'm always telling you, go forth and do it and go forth and do it. And one day I was sitting there and I heard in my spirit, she's always trying to hold me down. And I knew they were talking about me. And I said, God, what's this all about? He said, you're chastising them and they don't like it. You're trying to train them in the way they should go and they don't like it because they think they've already attained. So don't be one of those. If I come to you and tell you you're doing something wrong, it's not to hold you down. It's to build you up and correct you so you can go forth and do the thing correctly instead of wrongly. This is what happens too in the body of Christ. You know, people go out there before they're ready and they do dumb things and then the world says, who wants that? Never go out there before God sends you because you're going to give God a black eye. And when you go and you're anointed, pastors are going to put you down. Because they're jealous of your anointing. I want you to understand that this happens all the time. Still happening. All right? You know, I won't mention name, but I saw somebody who was just brought back into the ministry who, you know, did something she shouldn't have done. And they're leading a revival someplace. I forgot where. But I heard some things that didn't really set right with me. All right, so if you've been, you know, readjusting, if you're back into the ministry after you've done something bad, then I think you should be walking godly, right? First of all, he stood real cocky and said, you know, everybody said I wouldn't make it, but look, I'm standing up here right now. and, you know, and then he was running the pastor down and doing it. I quit watching it. I don't even want to watch this because none of that was godly. It wasn't done in the right attitude either. Anyhow, they were conducting a revival. They should never have done that. Now, I don't know what this person said after that, but I didn't even want to hear it. You aren't supposed to run down other pastors to begin with. You know, they name names. Shouldn't be doing that. And you should not be saying, well, they said I wasn't going to make it, but here I am in a cocky attitude. Now, you can have the right attitude and say that. By the grace of God, God brought me back. Even though the people said I'd never make it back, God brought me back. So I don't know where this person's going to end up at because their attitude is not right. It's not my business and I'm not going to pray about it. I really, you know, that's their business, not mine. All right, let's read that again. For many believers, their dream of ministry has died in the tomb of hope deferred, has been trampled by insecure leaders and other believers who did not encourage them to pursue their destiny or has been crushed by the trials of this life. And I can say that in my ministry that I have been crushed at times by the trials in this life. I really have. And you know, and I've had told people, you really need to hold me up in prayer because I'm going down right now. I can't deal with everything that's coming against me. Are you understanding this? So there will be times that the enemy would really try to crush you. We aren't turning off the air, are we? I'm very comfortable. Are y'all cold? Just because if you're cold, Chris, go get your jacket. He's always cold. All right. However, all right. So, however, your story is not over. All right. Oh, she's cold. Well, all right. So, however, your story is not over. My story was not over. God brought me back. All right. He can bring you back too. God wants you to get into his storyline of redemption that will see the prodigal come home and a lost world saved. Yeah. Come on. Dutch Sheets conveys a message of dreaming again in his book, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, that should encourage you to live again. I'm going to have to get that book. It sounds interesting. I didn't know it was out there. During an open heart surgery that, now you've heard the story, but I want to say it again. During an open heart surgery that my brother Tim was allowed to witness, the patient's heart had been stopped from beating. But when it came time to restart it, despite repeated attempts, the medical staff was unable to get the heart to beat again. Finally, although the patient was obviously unconscious, the surgeon leaned over and said into the patient's ear, "We need your help. We cannot get your heart going. Tell your heart to start beating." Immediately, as incredible as it sounds, the patient's heart began to beat again. So it's time for your heart to beat again for the work of the ministry the Lord has called you to. And when I wrote this down, and I was shared with Brother Allen before his service, I thought about when I had my heart procedure, and to tell you the truth, I forgot about this until Brother Larry reminded me a couple weeks ago. But when I had my surgery, I'm going to tell you how it started out. In the morning when he was going to take me down to surgery, the nurse was there to push me down, but this young, older man came in and he said, "Are you ready, Barbara?" And I said, "Yes." And the nurse said, "What for?" And he said, "I'm going to take her down." She said, "No, you're not. I'm going." He said, "No, I've been instructed to take her down." Well, she didn't like it, but she let him push me down. The whole way down there, he talked to me about the Father. He told me I was going to be all right. And then whenever he got, you know how they put you against the wall, so you're next in line, then he patted me on the shoulder and he said, "God is with you." And he smiled. And I had such a peace. This man brought a really peace to me. Well, during my surgery, my heart stopped and they lost. I died. All right. And I heard somebody called my name and saying, "Barbara, come on, you've got to come back. We need you here. Don't stay where you're at. You have to come back. Come on." And they kept calling me. And I was in a distance. I saw myself in a distance, but I didn't know I was dead. And so they kept calling me. And so finally, they said, "Go ahead, Barbara. Come on, keep coming, keep coming." And then they said, "We got her back again." And then they got me awake and they said, "You died." And I forgot about this. Alan said, "You forgot about that?" I did, until Larry reminded me a month ago. And she said, "So we're not going to be able to finish what we started because we're afraid to put you under again." But they had to put me under a little bit to finish. They were halfway through that procedure, but they was going to do something else. So God restarted my heart as far as I'm concerned. He didn't let me stay dead then. And even though after that I was under a lot of pressure, a lot of persecution, he wouldn't let me stay down either. He kept telling me to get back up again. He said, "I'm not finished with you yet." And see, when I look at you and I say, "Thank you for loving me," you know, I've said that to a few people in there. I said, "Because I can feel your love." Because at the times I could feel your love was the times when I was down into a pit that I didn't think I'd ever get out of again. But because of your love that you were directing towards me and praying for me, God raised me back up out of there. So I'm saying that to say this. If you see a brother or sister and you know they're down, then you need to pray for them, because in the spirit realm, that love is conveyed to them, and that's what brings them back up again. All right? We're in the body of Christ for one purpose, and that's to edify each other. It's to help each other to grow in Christ and to go forth and do a work for God. There's many souls out there that need to be won. And we can't win souls if we are in disunity or jealousy, you know, or anything. We can't do that. We have to be in unity and total love in order to do the works of the Father. In my walk with God in 30-some years, I've had pastors put me down. I've had pastors try to hold me down. I was in a couple churches that didn't understand my gifting because they weren't gifted. They weren't anointed. So they didn't understand. They thought I was crazy and they worked with me until I left. Then, you know, he was pushing me out. But, see, God didn't want me there. Are you understanding this? I was at one church and God said, "I have to take you out of here," because I said, "But I like it." He said, "You'll never grow here because this pastor will never, ever let you use your gifts. So I have to move you." So if you're in a church that you really love and God tells you that the pastor's not going to let you use your gifts, but then too, some people can try to use their gifts that they're not supposed to be doing too, you know. So, you know, let's keep this thing on an even keel. Let's stay on solid ground and not get whippy about it, all right? Now, are you ready? Are you ready to take the risk required to see a God-given dream resurrected? God believes in you. See, you have to understand, God believes in you even when you don't believe in yourself. He put His dream within you. It's not your dream, it's His dream, okay? He is chasing you today to fulfill His destiny in your life. He's chasing after you to fulfill His destiny in your life. Begin to declare today that He is my hope, He is my life, and He is my source. And tell your heart to beat again. Tell Him, you are my hope, you are my life, and you are my source. And tell your heart to beat again. I just did that the other day before I even read this article. I told God, He's the only reason why I live. You know, and I tell Him, please work with my heart again. Make it the same heart it was, or even better than it was whenever. And I don't mean healing wise, I mean just spiritual wise. Make it better than what it was when you first called me into the ministry. Because once He calls you in the ministry, the enemy comes at you, and he 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 starts chiseling away till he just about has your heart. Apostolic Fathers, Malachi 4:6. Malachi prophesied of a day of empowerment. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now he's talking about apostolic fathers here, all right? The whole purpose of spiritual fathers is to see their sons and daughters excel even beyond themselves. You see that? The reason why pastors won't build you up is because they don't want you to be better than they are. You remember Joyce Meyer's story? She was a teacher. She became a Sunday school teacher, and she sold more tapes than the pastor did. Well, the pastor said he got upset a little bit. He said, nope, she's anointed to God. And then he started helping her. You know, and she always went back to that church too. And that might happen to you. You might feel a little bit jealous. Hey, wait a minute now here. They're getting more attention than I'm getting. Hey, it's Jesus who's getting the attention. I hope that's where it's at. Amen. All right, I said the whole purpose of spiritual fathers is to see their sons and daughters excel even beyond themselves. So if you, at one point you start a church, remember you're not there to be exalted. You're there to teach and train the people to go out and do the works of the Father. They prophesy, they push, you know, a spiritual father will prophesy to you, push you, correct you, call forth your giftings, they will affirm your giftings, they will empower, and declare sons and daughters God-given destinies. That's what an apostolic father will do. True sons and daughters are not offended by the correction of their fathers, they actually embrace it. You know, some people say, I really want you to correct me, but when I correct them, they're, you know, so do you want corrected or do you not? Well, if you're under me, you're going to be corrected whether you want to or not. I'm not going to let you get out there and make a fool of yourself, and you'll be thanked before it one day. Amen. I never had anybody to train. Well, God said the Holy Spirit would train me, and thank God He did, because I wouldn't want to be under some people training me. I lost my place. Real fathers do not cover or control. Real fathers come alongside and align themselves with their children, and the children align with their fathers. Now, I'm not your covering. Jesus Christ is. All right? I am not here to control you. Jesus won't even control you. I'm here to walk beside you and correct you and teach you and so you can go out and do the works of the Father. By the way, the term father is generally neutral. We all know that. This applies to both men and women. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, and there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if I can be a bride, then you can be a father. If I can be a father, then you can be a bride, right? Every Father's Day, I get a beautiful card from Brother Christopher Gorse saying, thank you for being my spiritual father. Amen. That means a lot to me when he does that. In my, nobody else do it now. In my early years of ministry, I longed for a spiritual father, and I did. This other person wrote this, but I did too. To come alongside me to guide, correct, and affirm what God had called me to do. I was a son without a father. I asked several leaders to come alongside me, but this was a foreign paradigm to them. They thought because I was a woman and had a bad marriage, a guy couldn't do nothing, and they weren't going to help me do nothing either, and I'm glad they didn't, because I've watched their ministries, and I wouldn't want to do what they're doing. You know, so you be careful who you ask to come alongside you. The apostolic fathers of today are empowering believers to do the work of the ministry. They train, empower, and tell believers what they are doing right and tell you how it went wrong. They do not do the ministry for believers or give them a platform. They do not do the ministry for believers or give them a platform. Are you listening? I don't know why she doesn't let me get up there and preach today. Well, God didn't tell me to do that. That's why I don't. Anybody I tell call up here to preach is because God said, I want you to tell them to give a sermon. And I don't know if he's letting you see where you're at or letting me see where you're at. But he tells me to do it, so I do it. All right. Some of you think, well, I've got the best sermon anybody could ever hear. I wish you'd let me do it. And what am I going to preach on? See, there's things inside of you that God needs to correct. All right? But I haven't ever had anybody like that. Everybody's always come up and give a really, really good sermon. It's really been edifying and lifted people up. And so when God tells me to let you preach, he's letting me see where you're at. Okay? That's what that's all about. And when I see you up here stumbling all over yourself, I know, well, you got to sit down a little bit longer and quit stumbling. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now, Saints. I don't care how long you preach. And I think Sister Tina Miles can affirm this because she's been in ministry a long time with her mother. There will be times you get up to preach a sermon and the devil will be fighting you so hard you'll stumble through it. It won't come out the way you want it to because you're too busy trying to defeat the enemy that's coming against you. And do you know that when you're up here preaching, there's many Jezebels sitting out there preaching against you too? I stand up here many times and I watch people do their little hand motions and, you know, and do all kind of chant and everything else. They have their hands pointing at me and everything else. But I thank God for the blood of Jesus that it does cover, it does protect. And now anymore, I speak for the wall of fire. Since Ramirez told us I've been speaking the wall of fire around me, he said the enemy can't go through the wall of fire. That's another tool. Put a wall of fire around you and your family every day. Amen. Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I want you to always remember this. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. In other words, if God has given you a gift, then God's going to open doors for you to go and preach the gospel. Are you listening? You won't have to open the doors. I'll just tell you what Brother Larry did to me. He was a mess. We took a video. Brother Chris Gore said I should do something to go out, you know, in the public. You know, we just saw them around here. So we videotaped me doing a sermon. So we gave it to Brother Larry, and he was supposed to edit and give us the best part of the video. Well, he edited it. He told on himself, that's how I know he did this. He edited it and gave the worst possible part of the video. And I didn't look at it. Nobody looked at it. We just started sending it out to the people up in Pennsylvania. Well, the one pastor said, when I watched the video, the anointing on there was so strong, I just had to have you come to the church. And Larry said, what? I picked out the worst part of that video. She said, the video was just anointed. So it didn't matter whether you picked out the best or the worst. The anointing was on the video. And that pastor, Larry, honey, you bang slap, Brett, he's laughing his head off. Bang. He thinks that's funny. And, you know, and I spent, I think, 30 days up there going to all the different churches holding revival. And, you know, and wonderful things happened. It was just fabulous. All because Pastor Larry picked the worst part of the video. See? In other words, the scripture said a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I had a gift from God. powerful anointing. It didn't matter what you did to that videotape, it came out and God made room for me to go and minister. Okay? And one time I was ministering in a home in Virginia. They were officers in the service. I was up there ministering. I'm telling you all this because this might happen to you. I was up there ministering and my butt broke in my dress. I've had to hold my dress shut. My something broke in my shoe, you know, and I don't know. All kinds of things were going wrong, and I'm trying to preach, you know, in this home. I thought, what in the world? And as I started going around prophesying to people. Well, the woman who invited me and her friend were up there just praying their hearts out, you know, covering me because they saw what was going on. And I went around prophesying to the people in the room, and I got to the one and I said, you're a witch. And she was a witch, and she was out there, you know, doing all her little spells against me. That's why my buttons on my clothes were coming off, and my shoes were breaking, and whatever else. I forgot. It's been so many years ago. And then there was a man there sitting in the back of the room, and he was just sitting back there saying to his friend, well, the woman's husband, she's not right. What'd you even have her here for? I don't know why I even came. Well, when I got to him, I told him his life history. And that totally changed that man's life. It changed everybody in the room. But, you know, she was there, you know, she was doing her thing, and he's back there talking his junk against me. And I'm out there trying to keep my clothes on, you know, and trying to give the word. So what I'm saying is, you don't know what's going to happen to you when you go out. You just really don't. But those men that were in that room, they were officers, and they were wife swapping too. They quit their wife swapping, and they got saved. And that witch got converted too. So your gift, what does it say? A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before a great man. Come on. You don't have to go out there and start knocking on doors. God will open the doors for you. This empowerment will launch you into your destiny and help fulfill his life in you. This empowerment that God gives you will launch you into your destiny and help fulfill his life in you. As you are connecting with many leaders in the body of Christ, be sure that you connect with an apostolic father. They will push you into your God-given dream and call forth your destiny. I do push you all, don't I? I'm not going to let you sit there and rot. You have a call in your life, and you know you are powerful people. You just don't quite understand the power that you do have and the authority you have. You don't understand the anointing that you have to begin with. When we used to have, you know, revival here all the time, the Rhodes sisters came, and then they, when they saw what was going on, you know, then I think we brought them in to sing. I think that's what we did. But anyhow, when they preached too, and whenever they saw what was going on, they brought their father. And so they were preaching. They said, come on, Daddy, get up here and preach. Well, he got up here and he preached up a storm. And then he stood up and he said, this is the first church in my entire life where the anointing is so strong that you can't help but preach. And he just couldn't get over the anointing in the church. That wasn't my anointing. That was God in the church. But I had to live the life I had to live in order to keep the anointing in the church that strong so that others could come in here and minister. He said, I'll minister here anytime because it's so free. And see, the atmosphere has to be free. And if you have a pastor who is controlling and manipulating your atmosphere is not free. Come on. I've been invited to churches where they made me wait an hour before they'd even call me to the pulpit. Because they just didn't, that devil and them did not want me up there. I went to one church around here, and I thought to myself, well, Lord, I said, I'm just going to get up and go home. I sat there an hour and listened to all this garbage that was going. It was garbage because they were just stalling for time, you know, so they didn't want me up there. And finally they called me up there, and they didn't introduce me very well either. So get prepared for that. They'll introduce you like, oh, I just got to do this thing. And when I was through and did the prophetic and everything, I didn't know this, but there was a prophet from New York there. And she stood up there on the platform, and she really chewed the pastor out, told him, this is a mighty woman of God, and you did not treat her right. See, God vindicated me. I didn't have to say a thing. And it was in an Afro-American church, and this guy had a great big platform. He was way up high. I don't like that anyhow. Way up high, so you look down over the people, you know, like you look down on the people. So I'm standing up there knowing this man does not want. And then I turned around and told his son he wasn't right. And he was mad at that, too. But he, you know, this God just says what he wants to say. And it, God really chastised that man. And he didn't like me either. So, but I didn't get up and go. I wanted to, but God wouldn't let me. He made me stay. So I'm getting at this. So if you're going to be a leader, and if you're going to really be doing what God's calling you forth, you just can't get up and run because you feel like it. They invited me to do another church in Afro-American, service in an Afro-American church, and we went there, and we sat and waited. And I was 7 o'clock. We got there. 9 o'clock, they started filtering in. They got up there and did the little thing, you know, and then he said, we went to dinner. Remember that one? It was 9 o'clock at night, and I finally think 9:30 started. Now, I could have got up and left anywhere between 7 and 9, or even 9:30, because the pastor got up there and did their thing. But it was the enemy did not want the anointing that destroys the yoke to go forth and get set those people free. But God, in his mercy, glues me to my seat. Keep a right spirit, little one. And when they're ready, go up there and let my anointing flow. So what are you going to do? It's up to you. What are you going to do? Some of you wouldn't make it. Some of you would not make it out there at this point in your life. You can't make it in here. you get all offended and everything. You'd never make it out there where the enemy's really in control. Would they, Sister Tina? Come on. She's been around the block too. But I just want you to know that if you get into a church where there is an apostolic father, they will not hold you down. They will encourage you to go forth. We've had people here that we've ordained, and they've let other pastors in this area talk them into the fact that I wasn't of God and wasn't right and everything else, and they left the church, and they moved like Oklahoma or North Dakota or someplace. You know, just move away from here, then right back and say how powerful the church was and wish they hadn't left. So you can't let other people dictate to you where you should go to church. You should allow God to lead you where to go to church. And you might want to go someplace, and God knows that in that church your gifts won't be used. He's going to tell you to leave. I was in a church when I first got started, I didn't even know anything about the gifts. So I didn't. I was like everybody else, went to church all my life and just let the pastor tell me what the Bible said. And the first night I went there, I went into the spirit and danced all over the church. And then afterwards, you know, after we did all that, and I was sitting, you know, they made us the deacons, and we were sitting in the back pew to tell the people goodbye as they left. And all of a sudden, I heard I had my head down, and I just started shaking, vibrating all over. And I didn't know what that was. See, I didn't know what the gifts were. And I heard the pastor say, everybody sit down, because Sister Barbara has a word. And I didn't know what a word was either. And I started preaching. I preached for 15 minutes, but I started preaching. I got up and went to a man and woman to come in there, and God told them they were into incest and all this other kind of junk, and if they didn't get their lives right, they were going to die and go to hell. I didn't know these people from nobody, but God used me 15 minutes to preach them a sermon. They came in late. So you see, you never know what God's going to do with you is what I'm trying to say. But you have to see, the pastor said, everybody sit down. Sister Barbara has a word. It wasn't me saying, Pastor, I got to say something. I got to say something. I've been in many churches where I've had a word and I've kept it to myself because God didn't tell me to give it. Just because you have a word doesn't mean you have to give it. It might just be something God wants you to know. I want you to understand, because you can go out there and get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of trouble. I've said, when I was on evangelistic road there for a while, I'd be in these churches and I'd hear words, all kind of words about the pastor or the people. I never said a word because God didn't tell me to say it. He would just let me know what was sitting in that church. Why do you always have to give a word? You ask yourself that. Come on. So why you need apostolic empowerment in your life is because you need an apostolic father over you who will train you up in the ways you should go. And allow them to correct you. Allow them to tell you exactly what God's wanting you to do and where he wants you to go. Amen. God told me now, I think about 3 years ago, I was standing right there, and he said, Daughter, you're an apostle. And then Sister Tina, she told me, she said, you're an apostle. I never told anybody that. I don't put that in front of my name, and I don't think I ever will because God doesn't like titles. But see, I just knew it. One day he told me, he said, you operate in the fivefold ministry. And he said, now you're an apostle. But you know, I don't put that down anywhere. I don't brag about it. My gift will tell everybody what they need to know. Your gift will tell everybody what they need to know. You don't need to tell them who you are. Don't need to tell them at all. So, if you're going to go out there, are you going to be an apostolic father to somebody? Are you going to train them in the ways that God wants them to go? Even if God prophesied to Brother Larry one time that through me, that his anointing was going to be greater than mine. And somebody said, no, I don't believe that. Well, you never know what God is going to do. We can either work with that word and let it grow, or we can make it stop. That's a message I'm going to preach too. I want each one of you tonight to understand one thing. You're not God, and you're not on the throne. You're just a child of God that God has called and anointed to go forth and do a mighty works for him. And we're not supposed to go around judging either. We don't know, you deliverance minister, you know this. You don't know what makes a person do what they do. You see them do some really dumb things, but when you start doing the deliverance, you understand where they're coming from. And this is why God said, do not judge one another. Yes, we are supposed to judge, but not the way the church does. The church is stupid about judging. I want you guys to go forth. You know, if you don't have love, and if you're not wanting to see somebody else grow, then God can't use you. You know how many people that have, since I've been a minister, they've come to me, oh, my husband, he's just here, we won't get saved, blah, blah, blah. And I work with the husband, get him saved. Or my daughter, you know, you're my son, they're terrible, they won't get saved. Then God saves them. Or if it's a husband, the wife comes to me and says, I can't stand him, you know, and starts running him down. Or they got what they wanted. The husband was saved. The husband's serving God, but now they didn't really want them saved. That was just something to complain about. We knew somebody had a daughter who was not saved, and she became saved, and the mother tormented her till the day she died. The mother died. She didn't really want that daughter saved. That was just something she just used. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to run, I'm hearing God say, you're going to run into all kind of entrapments in your walk with him. So I'm telling you, if God's bringing you back after you've been in a slump somewhere, get excited because the enemy's now going to come and talk to you. He's going to ask you who you think you are. I didn't even tell him who I was. He knows who I am. I just laid there and I just let him rant and rave. You don't even have to talk and tell him who you are. I'm a child of the Most High God. You know who I am. You don't have to tell him that. He already knows that. Come on. He's wanting you to brag. Take him to the courtroom. Tell the Father, come on, you need to tell him what he can and cannot do. And I said, God, you told me he could never touch me again, so you tell him that. Whatever God told you, that's what that's what I want brought up in court. All right, you heard about an apostolic father. You have to understand, too, that sometimes you're in the wrong church and you think the people are treating you mean, but they really aren't. God's doing that to get you out of there because you're not going to be able to grow there. So quit talking about the pastors. You know, don't get upset with them because it's God nudging you anyhow. And if you're really hearing God the right way, then you'd be hearing his voice say, I want you to move. Nothing wrong with the people. It's you. You've learned all you can learn here. Now I want you to move so you can grow. Amen. Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you tonight for your teaching. I thank you for this wonderful group of people. And these are the handful, Father God, that you are going to send forth to win Lower Delaware to Christ. I know that. I know that with surety of heart. And Father God, I'm asking for a special blessing to be dropped down upon them tonight. I'm asking you, Father God, to instill more power into them tonight than they've ever had before. All right, what I'm hearing God say right now is each one of you are going through a new growth spurt in your walk with God. And in this new growth spurt, you're going to encounter many roadblocks and you're not going to understand what's going on. And he's saying, tonight, I want you to come up, because I'm going to drop my understanding into your spirit, so that when you hit the roadblocks, you, as you cry out to me, you'll have understanding of the seasons and the times, and you'll understand what is really going on in your life instead of you fumbling around in the dark. You'll always stay in the light. So it's a new anointing to give you stronger understanding of what's going on in your life. You, in other words, you won't be, this is me saying, you won't be running around saying, well, God, what's going on? You understand what's going on. You understand it. You're going into a new level constantly. And God said you're going to be constantly going to a new level in Him. God's also telling me that the ones who come and leave are the ones that are never going to make it in His ministry. They can't stand to come under subjection to the Father. Powerful anointing in the altar area tonight. Receive all that God's given you tonight. Rivers of living water, God said, He's flowing over you tonight as you're laying out here. Rivers of living waters.